Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor.fm to get started.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back. Welcome to AfterBuzz TV on a wonderful Wednesday. We are here to talk to you about Riverdale. It's Season 2, Episode 7, the 20th episode overall. It's called Tales from the Dark Side. We got a full panel, and there is so much cool stuff to unpack. We'll see you guys in just one quick second.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I really like this song.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Welcome to the show. Welcome, panel.
Yay.
Welcome,
yay.
Fans. All right. Am I stepping on the song? I'm sorry, guys. We were having a moment.
No, you're all right. It's all right.
We're good.
I'm really waiting for Josie's rendition to go on iTunes.
Yeah.
Just saying.
It was good.
It was a good
Josie music episode. This was an impressive one. Really impressive. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to AfterBuzz TV. We're here. It's Wednesday. Riverdale's back. We were like serious withdrawals for a week. We missed a week, and we're here. So let's just jump straight into the panel. We have a very special guest on the other side of the table today.
Yay!
The very first time on the Riverdale Fender, Miss Allie Nasso. Thank
Hello.
You so much.
Hello, guys. Thank you so much for having me. I am a huge, huge, huge Riverdale fan, so this is a huge honor. Thank you for having me.
Yes. Where can the folks find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Allie Nasso and on Instagram at Allie Girl, and you can tweet me everything Riverdale because I love talking about it.
Do you do any other AfterBuzz shows currently?
I do. Mm-hmm. I actually do Freeform Weekly. And on Mondays, that was on Tuesdays. Mondays, I do Once Upon a Time.
Oh, yeah. Is that with T? You do with Tiana?
No, she didn't do this season. Yeah, it's kind of like a whole new thing.
It's kind of nice, though. It's like a whole new, I was going to say, all these new characters. So that kind of works out.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And we've got Joelle. She's back. What's up,
Joelle? Hey, guys. I'm Joelle Monique. You find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique and every week at blackgirlnerds.com.
We got Sam D. She's filling in for the energy that usually is brought by Frank Moran. So she's going to be freaking super packed today.
What's yeah, up? Like I'm not amped already. Frank just overshadows me, but I'm always amped about Riverdale. You can find me, Sam D., Sam Davidson, SamD43 on Twitter and Instagram, and I'm in the live chat. Thank you guys for waiting. We love you.
Yeah, thank you so much for waiting. You guys can find me at BenBabyMedia, Twitter, Instagram, here talking Riverdale. I say it every week. It's legit my favorite show. I just love it. I get so excited. I don't know. It's not even a guilty pleasure. Not even at all. I just love it. Yeah. It's great.
Can we just say that this episode, though, was just fantastic.
It's a really good episode.
One of the best episodes I've ever seen of anything in my life.
It seriously had me going up and down with emotions, and I had to, like, calm myself down because there were so many things where I was like, this can't be what? And I was, like, making all these myths in my head of, like, what actually could happen to these characters. And then I was like, just be patient, Allie. They're probably going to answer these questions. It was so good.
Yeah, it was really cool, and we've said this a lot, that it seems like this show has done a really good job with kind of borrowing little pieces from pop culture and horror trivia and lore and kind of mixing them all in. So every episode does really get that feeling of it being a reference to its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
We were all talking before this episode. I don't know really specifically what this was in reference to, but I'm sure there's probably some piece of pop culture we missed.
I think we're thinking Tales from the Crypt, which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
It's the trisected episodes. It's kind of intersecting vignettes. So I could see that, potentially.
It's called Tales from the Dark Side, so I could see that.
What did you guys think about the format of the episode? I loved it, and I could totally do with more episodes in this format because I feel like we lose a lot of characters, like Josie, but we got to see so much of her this episode, which I really enjoyed.
I loved the 60s cult vibe of it.
Yeah,
it felt very George Romero-y in its shooting style and how it introduced kind of like character issues. There was definitely some moments that got political, which I was a little surprised that we haven't seen Riverdale do too much politicking in its writing yet, so that was kind of exciting. And anytime we get like a Josie kind of standalone any moment, it's gonna be amazing. And hers was nuts. Oh my god, that was the craziest episode to me.
There was some graphic throat cutting. Wow. That was something. They didn't even cut. You just stayed on the shot for a second.
Yeah, it was
crazy.
Horrifying. Yeah. Also amazing.
Well, because I thought they were warning us at the beginning of the episode, right?
Right.
That something really bad was about to happen.
They did say someone was going to die, which makes me want to watch it again to see if somebody died in the background, and I missed it.
And, okay, let's see. Callan268 says, it was, like, very noir, right?
Yeah.
Which this show is very typically, but this specifically, this episode, was very noir and beautiful.
I suggest we get into it. So we have each of these vignettes. So why don't we start with the episode where the episode started, which is Jughead and Archie. And Jughead gets called on this transportation advisor mission to go and bail out Penny Peabody, who says that FP has gotten beaten up by the ghoulies in the shower. And that, you know, Jughead's gotta get this money, do this delivery to help him out.
I thought this was really out of character for Jughead, just because he's usually about four steps ahead of everyone else, which didn't at all seem like a bad move, like on the writer's part or anything. It kind of highlighted how chaotic his life is. Like, he didn't get a chance to contemplate, like, was my dad really hurt? Usually the prison will call, like, the next of kin to be like, hey, some stuff went down. You might want to come see your relative. Nothing. No checking in, no trying to figure out if anything actually happened or what he should do next. He usually goes to his father. We don't get one of those moments here. So it was kind of sad, but it was also awesome to see Jughead and Archie back together.
I know. It feels like Jughead got a little bamboozled. He didn't...
he definitely got bamboozled.
Yeah, I wonder if he's just blind for his love for his dad.
I think definitely I was just thinking the love for his dad. That connection that he has, it's his only ties of family. And because he's seen Archie and Betty even... kind of be able to let go of him so easily just for a couple of days, it shows his vulnerability in his character and how he was jumping to his father's safety and didn't even want to ask questions because he just wanted to get to the bottom of it and do whatever he could to help his dad. So I think it just shows how vulnerable his character can be. And like you said, the hecticness of everything going on, and he just joined the Serpents. But then again, Jughead, why would you believe this lady that your dad already warned you about?
Well, I just want to give like a PSA to both schools, you know, and just be like, you are children, not law enforcers, okay? This is what happens when children try to be cops or detectives. You literally just went through puberty. Just hang on a bit.
I agree, and I say that every week, and I wrote it down again today. It's like, how do these kids continue to just be like, they conceal so much information, like Josie, like, just like lying to the sheriff again? Oh yeah, there's nothing in my locker. Betty's just like, I'm not gonna tell anyone that the Black Hood. It's just like, you guys are so crazy.
Ben and I always watch these episodes together, and this week my favorite moment when he was like, oh my god, these kids, and I was like, you've never sounded more like a dad to me. You were like, what are they even doing? I was like, I don't know, they're nuts.
It's so true though, because literally just go to the cops. Right. Tell them that this lady is blackmailing you. Like, tell them that you don't know. Like, just, like, bring them with you and then, like, be four steps ahead. Like,
not to jump too far ahead, but I understand only Betty's desire not to go to the cops. Like, if the cops are in on it, then you can't really go to the cops. And she knows, like, their local... Like, the other option is usually, like, tell the press and get the word out to the people. Right. But her mother runs the press, and she's nuts. So
there's also seemingly one police officer in three counties.
Like, he's doing this solo. There are no... Yeah. There's just the one. So one horse town and one sheriff town.
He's like, I was here on the graveyard beat when she was arrested. It's like, by who? Is there another cop that I'm missing?
Yeah, and it's like, he's so tired all the time and out of it. I'm like, because he's the only one.
Also, a written log is not proof to me.
Yeah,
I don't know when you wrote these things down, sir.
Like, well, it still makes me think, like, what year is this? And is this some alternate reality? I mean, this episode, not to jump ahead too much, but this is the one, you know my love for supernatural things, and this is the one that I was like, yes, 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 there's other things going on in this show besides just, like, this world that we see.
He's like, Betty, Hal, it says here in my log I was benching 450 pounds. She's like, that's impossible. It says it in the log. I was benching 450 pounds.
And Veronica was like, damn.
I mean, Mr. Keller is hiding a lot of body under all of that uniform. I didn't know.
Did I not say the first episode of this season, like, damn, Sheriff Keller got super hot this summer?
You did say he got swole. We did talk about that.
He's got a good chest. It's well worked out.
Let's see. Vis Trista 7 said Sheriff Daddy.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. My God.
He got it right there.
So, let's get back to the story for a second. So, I mean, I guess Sheriff Kelly.
Sheriff Daddy.
We'll talk about Sheriff Kelly plenty of time. So, so Jughead gets roped into this, gets Archie to go on this mission with him. Mm-hmm. They run into the Candyman on the road.
Amazing.
They blow a tire after picking up this crate. And, like, what a weird and like a short-lived cameo by Tony Todd. So, like, guys, some of you don't know this. Tony Todd plays the character Candyman, who's like a very famous horror movie villain, which is obviously it was kind of a horror movie episode, so that's I'm sure why they cast Tony Todd. And he's been in 250 other things. He's voices in every cartoon. He's in The Rock, one of my favorites. And he's super creepy in this episode. Super creepy.
That's what he's really good at.
He's got a great voice. He's got one of the better voices, yeah.
Well, like, first of all, Jughead, you're getting in a car where he says, don't look under the tarp. And you don't, I guess, I'm assuming he doesn't have a cell phone. And he just, I know he had to do this job, but, like, he was basically, for me, I was like, you're walking to your death right now. You're jumping into this car with this creepy, weird guy that's, like, saying all these things in the radio station.
Also, learn your prison culture, man. If he's in, like, intensive care, that's the safest place for him to be right now. There's really not a rush for you to get this money. You also need to find a legitimate lawyer. This one's not good for you. I just have so many questions, but mostly, like, once the religious zealot, like, preachiness starts coming on, you get a lot of, like, weird black hood undertones, and you
literally saying the black hood in the car
as we're driving toward Greendale. I'm like, we're getting close. I thought we were gonna get a witch's circle by the end of this. I was so excited. I was like, it's finally happening. Yeah. They're gonna make us wait.
He also mentions the Riverdale Reaper in the car, which is not something we had heard about. So now there's two legends. There's the black hood, and there's a legend of the Riverdale Reaper. So we think there's a possibility they could be the same person.
Can we backtrack a second though and talk about his Jason Blossom reference?
Comment. Yeah, it was good.
I mean, okay, I was thinking so many things. First of all, it's like, oh, was he just expecting to see a ghost on the ride to Greendale?
Right.
I mean, listen, I have a lot of crazy theories. If you guys have seen other after shows I do, about like 60% of them are right. The other 40, okay, maybe it's 50-50. But, I mean, I'm right sometimes. But I think this one, I'm not sure what it was, where it's just like Jason Blossom was like constantly hitchhiking to Greendale. Why? That comment was very, very important, I think.
To me, as soon as I heard that, I thought, is Polly under there? Because remember, she's at some farm.
Right.
And he looked like a farmer, so I was like, oh no, Polly.
Right. If you go to Tony Todd's Twitter, which I did as this was happening, there's like a pretty startling horror movie picture of him. I won't say what it is, because I don't know if it has some relevance to the episode. I don't want to ruin it for anybody, but it definitely was not in the episode, so go check it out. It's from the episode. It's him as the character, looking like different than he looked in the episode.
Whoa.
Who?
Tony Todd.
You gotta think Tony's gonna come back. Like, when you don't get an actor that large just to show up for, like, a blip of a second. And two, like, it was really creepy. Andrew knew everyone. And there's no indication that he should have known who Jughead was.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that was really bizarre that he was like, you must be Jughead. So at first I thought, like, oh, they must have sent a guy to make sure that they got there. But then, like, they separate, and he's never brought up again, and there's no kind of call or reference back to him. I think he's our first lead into the occult.
And Solarge Knowles says, Sabrina's coming, girlies, get ready!
Yeah, maybe.
I'm so freaking pumped.
Yes. I'm so excited!
Well, because the mid-season finale is, like, two episodes away, I think. Oh,
and that's when we'll find out who the Black Hood is. I believe I saw something online, it said two episodes, and I'm assuming that's the mid-season finale.
Yeah, well, because Cheryl was saying, Maddie Petch revealed that a couple weeks ago, that we're going to find out who the Black Hood is within two episodes.
I have something to say about her, too.
Oh, do you?
Oh.
A lot.
We shall get there. So. So they go hitchhiking. There was also the shot, the classic I'm never going to see you again shot of Archie in the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
Which is a really creepy shot. I don't know if you guys, and like, there's like two shots like that. There's usually the one in the rearview mirror, and then there's also the looking through the back window of the car shot.
Yes.
Both of those shots are super creepy because they usually result in you being murdered in a basement somewhere. So I was like, Jughead, man, you're not really going to die, but
Archie is the smart one in the situation, you know it's you know not you're doing good. Bad. It's bad. Like, what was Jughead thinking? And he's taking the barrel? Like, just leave it. Archie figured it out with the triple C.
Right.
The triple C. One of my favorite things they kept from the comic book was the whole, like, where they make up, like, the name, like, the very similar name to the thing that we all recognize. They make it up in Archie speak. I wish I could think of more examples.
I mean, if you guys don't have AAA, it's super helpful.
Yeah. What was, like, American... What do they call American Express? There's, like, a different name for it in this. And, like, everything is like that. It's a slightly different but similar name. Yeah, I love that. Anyway, so they get picked up by Tony... Or he gets picked up by Tony Todd. They split off. There's this, like, covered in blood deer in the middle of the road that eyes Archie.
That was the Which most. It wasn't. I thought it looked like it was glowing. It didn't look like just blood. It looked supernatural to me. Am I the only one that's just like wanting to see supernatural?
Well, no, because it also feels like there was a dead deer in the back of a dude's truck.
Oh, so it was a ghost deer. It was a ghost deer.
I'm trying. I have to rewatch again because I couldn't catch what the symbolism was for showing like if Archie is having a premonition and is like, because that seems to be his deciding factor of like, I need to go get Jughead. Right. Like, this is not a good moment.
But let's think about the Jason Blossom comment again, because you never know what you're going to see on the way to on the way to Greendale.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So if he saw that deer and it just died, he thought he was Jason Blossom. Mm-hmm. So maybe on the way to Greendale is a path where like death kind of becomes a little bit blurry, like death and life.
Something, yeah. Kyle Kenton here asked the question: is Archie ever going to sing again? Good question. What the hell happened to Archie's music career?
Guys, this is so weird because I was actually thinking about that in the car. I was just like driving here thinking about Riverdale, you know? I'm like, wow, wait a second. Archie just all of a sudden gave up football and music, which were the only two things he really cared about. And now they're like,
he's
done.
Experiencing, done, you know, a mutual love instead of the pedophilic relationship that he was in before. And he's dealing with a murderer. He started like sort of a cult gang, a street toughs, if you will. Hmm. He's been through a lot in the past couple of weeks. I think Archie needs to reach an equilibrium, which he might not be able to obtain until we get, you know, the identity of the Black Hood.
His thing now is he just lifts a lot of weights. So, which I'm cool with. I mean, he's good at it. But,
that's the Riverdale thing, is you just lift weights, get swole, and try to forget about your past.
It looks like they're giving us an every other episode Archie shirtless scene, because we didn't get one this episode, but the preview for next week... Right?
We had so much shirtless sheriff, I think they were like, that's good enough, ladies.
Yes, right. So Soul Partner Girl said, Archie found new hobbies.
Yeah, he definitely did.
Exactly. So I think, so they deliver this thing, and then it's supposed to be a weekly thing.
Pancake mix. What the
pancake
hell?
Pancake mix.
Is that the dumbest thing you've ever heard? Pancakes?
Yeah, pancake mix. Well, jingle jangle, pancake mix, whatever.
Yeah, I guess.
And so that's where that ends, and then they end up at the diner.
Is that what it was? Was it just like the street name for jingle jingle?
Oh, I mean, she was just like kidding, because it's like, oh, you know, it's... Because she was eating pancakes, so she's like, pancake mix, sure, because then...
I kind of want to just adapt pancake as the street name for Jingle Jingle now.
Might just pancake. Be actual pancake.
That's
like, sometimes
so funny.
In crime, you just steal
well,
things.
Well, you also need maple syrup for pancakes.
Whoa.
Oh, there you go.
Whoa.
Sam D. Sam D.
Always thinking next level, Sam.
Spitting hot fire.
That's
all right.
Amazing.
So, let's move on to the second vignette. Well, let's get into Josie's storyline. This was a fun one. We haven't seen a big, expanded Josie storyline in some time.
And I mean, we've heard so much about a spinoff in the future.
Mm-hmm. We got some really good music scenes.
Yes.
Which was awesome. I definitely appreciated that. Like, they were definitely showing her, like, playing the song, but they were also making a point of, like, reminding us, like, mm-hmm. a part of the show is getting to feature this woman and her musical talent.
Amazing.
Which is great. She has, like, she breaks up with the Pussycats in this episode, it seems.
Kind of. I feel like... Okay, so this was one thing that I really enjoyed about this episode was, like, it shows what a girl fight looks like. Which is very rarely, like, when girls start throwing fists, like, things have been happening for a long time. I like that this was, I like the confrontation scene in the shower of, like, hey, what you doing? But I thought, you know, maybe Josie got a raw deal here. Like, she just wants to try. If Josie can get in, she can always bring the girls with her later when she has some clout. To say, you know, maybe she shouldn't have kept it a secret. I mean, how do you guys feel about that? If you guys... We're a part of a group. One of you got offered a deal. You know, do you tell them and you do it? Do you turn it down for the sake of your crew? What's the best route here?
I think you tell them. I think communication is always the best policy. And to be able to tell your friends that you've spent so many countless hours rehearsing and caring about all the music and writing things together, I think that you owe that to them to be like, listen, I still care about us. I want to maybe continue us in the future. But right now, I need to take those steps to further my career. Things are crazy right now. I really want to hone in on myself and focus on my own career. I think that you could have done
that. But again,
that.
You're 25, Allie, right? So, you know, Josie's probably, 16 and a half. And I just think that the Pussycats were way harsh.
I mean, look, it's... Everybody, when you talk about something like this, like, sure, in theory, it's, like, a much easier situation to deal with, but look, we're all in entertainment. We all know what it's... We're all looking for the same end goal, which is, like, we each want to be featured in our own role, mm-hmm. so... If you have somebody you work with all the time and then somebody comes to you and is like, I really want to feature you in this project, and you kind of in that moment have the opportunity to be like, well, actually, hey, you should feature me and the person I work with all the time because it's better. Or you can be like, it's really rare that I'm getting this opportunity and I'm going to take it. How do you break that news to your partner? Your partners, something I think a lot of us in this business have to deal with. It's not uncommon,
right?
And it's difficult. It's hard to do in real life.
I think it's a lot easier. You're correct. If Josie would have just said like, "Hey, this is something I'm interested in exploring," specifically because you're not doing anything other than going in for an audition. Essentially, like it, to me, that's the most ridiculous part of it. It's like we're mad because you're auditioning for a thing. I'm not signing a record deal. Nothing is happening for me yet. This is just an opportunity. Which, you know, if they like me, maybe I can convince them to give you guys a second listen. Something. So I felt kind of bad for Josie in that moment. But much more surprising about Josie's whole story was the Cheryl Blossom stuff.
Yeah,
right.
Which was nuts.
So we don't even know if this recording deal is legit. It feels like Cheryl is like just like twisting Josie around her finger like hard. Like, I don't know. Everybody in here is asking. People keep asking the question, is Cheryl gay now? I don't think she is. I didn't get that sense. I got she was controlling Josie.
This doesn't feel like a sexual or even a romantic love. This certainly feels more like a possession. Like if you so this is not a predator, but it's predatory like behavior to encircle you and cut you off from people. So she encourages her to disobey her mother. A boy likes her. She's like, let's cut that quick.
Poor Josie.
We're going to separate you from all of your friends. So now all poor Josie has is Cheryl, and she needs to stop drinking that tea. It's not good. I'm convinced she's poisoning you.
Right.
Leave this relationship. I'm so scared for Josie.
See, I kind of think it's Cheryl's way of coping with everything she's been through. She doesn't have anybody right now, and she feels like she's kind of alone. So she's almost, like, kind of in a way possessing Josie, but I think it's all good. And I think this is the first time I actually saw Cheryl where I feel like she didn't have, like, a motive.
She's so evil in this moment.
She wasn't evil this time.
We are poisoning people.
She like left a pig heart in her locker.
Wait, that wasn't was her. That was the janitor.
Definitely Cheryl.
What about the note?
The sketch.
That was the sketch. Janitor.
Okay, no. So at the very end, you see Cheryl sketching a picture of her and Josie.
And it's clearly
it's the exact same art style of the image that was left for Josie next to the pig heart.
But that doesn't mean she did the heart. Okay, I guess it kind of does.
It does. It was the same thing. Cheryl's so devious.
Okay, I said this.
Cheryl was full villain.
I said this 2 weeks ago. This is Cheryl. Oh, like, we are seeing a villain be made, like Lex Luthor. Mm-hmm. We are seeing how it happens. And, you know, I still feel bad for Cheryl. She's clearly has a mental illness and it has, like, mental problems from her entire family.
She's like, if you looked up a dictionary definition of damaged goods, that is Cheryl Blossom.
Oh, my God.
She's so crazy. She's like that chick. And the funny thing is, I just think that the show likes using her as a crazy character. So I think even though they're going to give her, like, moments of redemption sometimes, they're never going to stop making her crazy.
Yeah.
Because that just works for, like, crazy, pale, like, fair-skinned, beautiful red hair Cheryl.
I really want her to go, like, full, oh my gosh. Well, I can't remember. It's a classic literature reference. The old lady, she becomes a total recluse and lives in her house full of old memories. That's what I want Cheryl to like. I want that to be her arc.
You want her to be a cat lady, basically.
No.
Not even just a cat lady, but like a crazy, like, conspiracy-consumed, rich old biddy on a hill just looking down at her. Like, these crazy kids. And then she, like, tries to destroy lives internally.
And Solarge Knowles says apparently there's a big Cheryl episode coming up as well. I think they're setting things up just literally for like hundreds of years of Riverdale.
Hundreds of years.
We're going to be dead. They're going to be dead. And, you know, it's just going to keep on going. But I think they're setting up this character for us to understand who she is and where she came from and that all the other characters care about her. But that she is going to be a very bad person. But, you know, when you watch it, you're like, well, what would you do if you
had burn my mother alive in a house.
Yeah.
No.
I would not poison my friends.
Okay, we don't know if she poisoned her friends.
She for sure poisoned Josie. I stake a lot on that.
I think so, too. I think, yeah, the tea she's giving her, like, I for sure think that she's got some.
My mind is just blown, guys. Yeah. This is why I need to talk about it, because I'm in my own head thinking, I'm like, oh, Cheryl, I always like to see the best in people, even in devious, evil characters. So I thought this was a breakthrough for her, but I am totally on the bandwagon with you guys. Mm-hmm. And I take back I retract all my earlier comments.
Honestly, I just want Cheryl and Betty's mom to, like, hook up. Not sexually, like, but, like...
get together.
Yeah, like, be an evil duo together.
Alice is better than that. Okay, so we have Ivan Soto said, live wire from Supergirl.
That's who Penny Peabody is, isn't it? Am I missing... Is it the wrong person? I think that's who Penny Peabody is.
Oh, wow! Right? Okay.
She's, like, in episode 4 of Supergirl, I think. Something like that.
Yeah, Livewire's in a couple episodes. I don't... She has a very intense wig.
She does.
So I have to go back and look. But cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so wait. Actually, okay. Callie Wolf and Thief said, so thoughts. Cheryl with the pig's heart. Do you think now she was the one who left Serpent Slut on Betty's locker in Pig's Blood last season?
Whoa! Deep cuts!
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Probably.
Wow.
Probably.
Where are you getting all of these pigs?
That is literally mind-blowing.
It's like, you know, maple That's syrup, a pig farm. Like, That's who knows
what's going on. Look at these deep cuts, Ivan. I agree. Yes.
Ivan Soto, good work. All right, let's continue. Matt Maher. Love it. Love Matt Maher's in the chat. What's up,
I
Matt
Maher?
I love
Matt. I love you, Matt.
I literally just, like, pulled out my phone for a second, and he had sent me a message being, like, favorite episode Riverdale ever. Now he's in the chat.
Matt is one of my very good friends. I love Matt.
Repping the Alice Cooper is not evil set.
I'm with you, Matt.
I'm not with you, but I respect you.
And Wait. Matt, you didn't hear my Orphan Black, or no, it was the last show I was on, but you know, we were on that show together. We love that show.
Can I
just ask you guys a quick question? So you didn't get any creepy vibes from the janitor?
No, definitely.
Of course we did.
Okay. But that's probably, they were probably setting it up to make you think it was a
black hair. The janitor is such a red
hair. Black hair. I said that and I was like, I think it might be red.
Yeah. Definitely red herring. Definitely feels like he's polite to her. Like, he never infringes upon her. He's always kind of like, are things okay? So, it's creepy because he's a janitor. And you're like, maybe you shouldn't associate with students. But I also think that's super American, and he's the guy that cleans the school. And why wouldn't you connect with the people that go there?
No, I think he's weird.
He was getting pretty handsy with Chuck Clayton as he escorted him out. Let's talk Chuck a little bit. Friend of the show, Jordan Calloway.
Yeah!
Love Jordan. I commented tonight on his Instagram, and I said I was so scared you were going to die, and I was going to be really personally hurt by it.
Jordan Calloway is one of my favorite guests we've ever had at AfterBuzz.
One of the nicest guys ever.
He's such a dork when it comes to comic books. He loves and good TV. He like he'll text me about like TV. Like he's like, I just want to talk about Game of Thrones, bro. And I'm like, you're on TV, man. Like I cover your show. Like, this is really cool. I'm like, I'm really flattered to have you want to talk about comic books, but like you're a legit thing that we watch. He's the coolest. Like it's really, really cool that he has such a love for this stuff. Like I genuinely feel that if he wasn't on the show, he would be as big a fan of the show.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So he's back. Chuck Clayton is back. No more. What was it called? A dirty maple? Messy maple?
Yeah.
Sticky maple, right?
Sticky maple.
You got it.
That was the one. And
taking some art classes.
Yeah, right. So he's going to
church.
Be...
Church.
That was good. And Pop was like,
Pop had his back.
Just doing church.
Pop is the best wingman in the history of wingman.
Yeah,
he just flew right in and was like, "No, kid's good. Check it out."
So legit. Definitely we had some Pulp Fiction dancing going on.
Oh yes. My God!
Which was, I think. Because the other thing is, like, the structure of the episode was very Pulp Fiction, obviously. And that was pop... I mean, that existed before Pulp Fiction, but it was popularized in American culture with that movie. And it was funny that the dancing they were doing in the diner, in a 50s diner, was a direct reference to Pulp Fiction, which made me feel like they were very aware of what they were doing with this episode.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Definitely. No, 100%. And it was fun, and it was great, and they could both dance. They were really fun to, like, just watch them go at it and have fun.
Well, I mean, we didn't really see them go at it.
Not sex! Oh my goodness, Sam.
I'm sorry. I just...
I mean, Chuck's body, I feel you. It's there.
Yeah.
Hi, Jordan.
Do we think that Chuck is for real? Do we think he's a good dude again?
Yes.
Ever?
Well, good dude again is hard to say, but I do think he's trying. Right.
So we have Renji 90998 said Chuck was starting to become his character with wanting to be an artist, which was in the comic books.
It's a comic book thing. I did think it was pretty cold that Josie threw him under the bus. What was that about?
I don't know. There's just, I always knew there's something off with her and her mother, and the whole father thing. We get a little bit of that, and we'll get into it, but. I was like, Josie, dude.
I think it was a combination of fear and peer pressure. like fear because someone just left me a pig's heart and is essentially stalking me.
Right.
And I thought it was this cute guy who was sending me like teddy bears, mm-hmm. and it took a very dark turn. So that's really creepy. On top of that, her only ally is like, he must have done it. He totally did it. Believe me. I think that she's had a moment of weakness and was like, yeah, sure. If you guys watch on Netflix Confession Tapes, you can see how easy it is to change your mind about things.
Oh, I watched that.
It's so good. Oh, my God. But, yeah, it's super easy to just be convinced in a moment of, like, yeah, sure, that person.
True crime. Gotta love it.
We have here Regina Lopez think he's going to retaliate and come take revenge. I don't think the show's going to go down that road. I think they've already painted him as enough of a bad dude. I don't think they want to make him a bad dude again.
I would
be shocked.
Really? I would really like for him to save them somehow.
Yeah, right. Also, like, we just had a storyline with, like, a vindictive male, like, sexual abuser.
Yeah.
I don't think we want to, like, just villainize Chuck again, because, right. I don't think we...
And, yeah. I will, you know, everything that's been going on in Hollywood right now, it's terrible, yeah. and I completely support all the women coming forward and everything, but I think it would be a very interesting storyline for a man, a teenager, you know, he's a teenager, that has done things, that has... couldn't change and kind of save the day.
Yeah.
In a way, I think that would be a really fascinating thing to put on television, you know, that people can change. Not saying anything right now in the real world like that would happen, but I just think a teenager that has done some bad things that can change their way about they view women.
Well, it's also showing the process of that. Like, it's not A, overnight, or B, easy to change your stripes, and it's much harder to get people to believe you've changed your stripes. So I kind of like exploring that territory mm-hmm. of, like, once you are a better person, how do you convince people that they can trust you again?
And there's something in the chat I just copied and pasted. I want to bring up. It's Juz a Chanel said, in reference to the janitor when we were speaking about him. Mm-hmm. He is the guy in episode 203 in Kevin's dream. I do remember Kevin having nightmares in 203.
Really?
I think we need to, like, go back and rewatch that, but that might be very important because I do think the janitor, he wasn't just a red herring.
He's the guy in the car that stabs Kevin in the third episode?
That's what Juz a Chanel said. So I suggest all of us to go back and look at that
deep
because...
Deep cuts, you know guys. What? Deep cuts.
Yeah. You guys are so smart.
Kind of looks... I feel like they looked similar, but they both kind of had, like, I think it was, like, a bald-headed guy. Like, he just looked, he was, like, I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see.
That's worth looking up.
Let's look it up, guys. Comment, too, as well, what you think of that.
Crazy. Someone asked, Kalo Ken says, will Josie go to church? It didn't sound like it.
No.
I don't think so, either. All right, so let's talk about the third vignette. The third vignette in the episode being Betty and Veronica ending up in a stakeout together, discovering what's going on with Sheriff Keller. His affair.
So Bughead both kind of freaked out this episode.
Yeah, big time, big time. Bughead back together. No Vanessa Morgan, gone from this episode.
Yeah.
She'll be back, I think.
She'll definitely be back.
But we have, like, this Betty and Veronica storyline, and Betty's convinced that Sheriff Keller's the Black Hood. She gets caught. Veronica has a sleepover with Kevin. She finds Sheriff Keller. Well, if you were Kevin and you walked downstairs, like, that whole scene was just like...
Uncomfortable.
The whole scene was like, all right, are you, like, coming on to Sheriff Keller? Because if I was Sheriff Keller, that's 100% what I would think was happening.
You'd be like, I know I got super hot in the past 6 months, but come on, Veronica.
Right, like, the things, I understand what she was getting at. She was trying to be, like, alluding to the...
Affair.
The fair, but the way, and she said the word, like, hard or something. I was like, oh, where's this going? What's happening?
So multiple things here. One, we definitely know that Veronica is able to use her wiles to charm most people, regardless of their gender. I think that was a default. It didn't feel necessarily like a come on. That being said, Kevin has inappropriate friends. For Veronica to be down there with his dad, for Betty to not even ask him or have a conversation with him, be like, something is weird with your dad, right? Have you noticed things?
Right.
But instead to launch into a full investigation of him is totally beyond the breach of friendship, I think. So I don't know what's going on with Mr. Keller, but he needs to pull it together.
Well, because, like, here's the thing. Like, all right, let's just say that in reality, this real situation happens. So Veronica then walks back upstairs, and one of two things is going to happen. Either Kevin's going to be like, Veronica, tell me right now, like, what was going on, because that was, like, a very weird thing to just have... Or he doesn't say anything, and then just he's just thinking, like, was Veronica, like, trying to, like, get with my dad? What the...
The only thing that makes sense about it is that there was a refrigerator with drinks in the basement. That's the only thing that makes sense, because he said, go get us some juice or something, and she goes down to that fridge. But, like, at the same time, in reality, when you were in high school, did you ever feel comfortable just, like walking around a friend's house? It was like, that's how I was. Like, can I get something to drink? Like, can
that's
I,
you know, sheriff.
Like, and if you're at a sheriff's house,
specifically, this is her first time in their home.
Right.
She makes a very big statement about that, because, you know, it would be one thing for me, I think, if it was Betty, because they grew up together. They've been best friends for a long time. I see her being comfortable in the house and, you know, with her friend's parent. But for Veronica, it's like, ma'am, go somewhere with yourself. Like,
I know.
Get a probes.
And then on top of that, like, it just... The whole thing was like setting up an American Beauty situation.
Yes.
It was just, it was
I
awkward.
Look forward to the internet and its disgusting Kevin Keller Veronica shipping.
But at the same time, you know,
you know it's going to happen.
We watch this from the beginning, a conversation with Betty and Veronica saying, right. Sheriff Keller is the Black Hood. Veronica goes, he's having an affair. But really, Veronica was more right than Betty was.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that
so
is just
far,
to lead us off of the track still. I still want to be right with my last season.
You think that he is? You think Sheriff Keller's
there? I think he for sure has something to do with it. It's not just about his, you know, secret affair with the mayor.
We got
to
go back and look at his board, because I bet you there are some good juicy Easter eggs.
Yeah, where's our tracking board?
It's coming along. There's a lot of information to dissect.
Oh, is it really?
Okay, you know what, you guys? Let's have a night. We're going to have a night. We're going to go to Michael's. We're going to get some wine. And we're going to have a night. Trust me, I've done this before.
We're going to get drunk in public, forget to check out at Michael's.
No, I'm completely serious. No, we get it first, and then we go drink and make it. So I'll do this. Don't worry, guys, I got this.
The Betty and Veronica storyline was probably the least interesting in this episode overall. It, like, had the least to it, I think. We didn't really get any Veronica stuff with Archie, any Veronica stuff with her parents. It was just...
But we did get the reveal that Betty can be very much like her mother.
Yes.
Which was dope, because I really liked a lot of Sam's theories about the parents and the kids from season one.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen... Betty's been pretty good about journalistic integrity so far, just about making sure that she's keeping her sources secret, that she's getting good factual information out there. But she went full into Alice mode, where she was like, nope, I know this to be true. And he's like, but facts. You're just making leaps and bounds here. I look forward to seeing how far she goes down the hole.
But this is why I like Betty and Veronica, though. It's because Veronica even says, I'm on your team here because I need to calm you down. I need to take you back. This is the only reason why I'm doing this with you, essentially, is because I need to make sure you don't go too far.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, he's got to keep her in check. She's got to keep her in check.
Yeah.
So the last piece of their story is that we find out that there's this affair happening between Robin Givens and jackass Sheriff Keller.
The mayor and Sheriff Keller are saying, you guys, I want a baby. I just, because I love the mess. I love the mess.
We just had an affair.
No, I want her to be pregnant yesterday.
Oh my God.
How do we deal with, like, Josie's, like, crazy, like, super uptight dad handling that information?
How does
the town, who the mayor alluded to racist comments and stated that threats have been made against her life. How does a town react to a mayor and a sheriff having an affair? And then how does Kevin and Josie handle it? It would just be the best kind of complication.
Well, and then let's just all talk about how great Betty
and
is.
Ivan Soto, of course, says that's dynamite television crap, Joelle.
Yeah,
so
it's wonderful. when they think that he has his kill bag. That's what he's going in with. I think we all can agree Betty's jacket in that scene was great, right?
I freaking love that jacket.
It's very
it's
cute.
A good look.
And daytime television is now, CW just does it at night. Like, I don't know if you know, but these are all daytime television setups.
With an
done at night.
It's way better.
You guys don't think that they're in cahoots together?
Yes, I do. I think Sheriff Keller is still very guilty. And I think there is a reason. Okay, think about Josie's father when we met him.
Mm-hmm.
We have not learned much about him.
No.
And it's weird and it's scary. It's almost like Hiram Lodge-ish.
Yeah.
And we're going to... I think this was almost like a backdoor pilot to the Josie and the Pussycat.
Sure.
Spinoff.
Which, it does seem like that's going to happen. All right, guys. I think that's pretty much going to wrap us up. Do you guys want to get into predictions really quick?
Yeah, let's do it.
Close things out.
And now, AfterBuzz TV.
Who wants to jump in first? Who's got good stuff to say?
I think I have something.
Yes.
So I think the creepy. Oh, we're good. The creepy man that was driving to Greenville. I think he's actually going to come back in a way that like Jughead and Archie are going to realize he might have more information than we all they all would ever know.
Yeah.
And I think they made us think he's creepy, but in the end, I think he's actually going to be a huge piece to this puzzle and really, really helpful, and actually not as creepy as we think him to be. Like, definitely weird, but not in an evil way, but just, like, downright weird, I don't know, something loose.
Well, I don't think they cast Tony Todd for him to show up.
Oh, yes. Really?
Yeah.
So it's just, like, this episode was kind of, like, standalone-ish.
No, I'm saying I don't think they cast him to show up and then not come back. I think he probably comes back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I thought you were saying like he wasn't,
And he definitely has kind of like the magical black dude aspects to him of like knowing a lot more than he's letting on. And that radio program, which I can't wait to go back and listen to more intently, definitely gives us a second layer to his his story about who the Black Hood might be.
He's like the black janitor from The Shining. What's that guy's What's the guy's name?
Yeah,
he kind of knows about the ESP, right? About the
And it's like kind of like a foreteller, you know?
Yeah. So I think that's definitely going to happen.
Ivan Soto on the Jive, it's so funny. He said, Tony Todd is Salem the cat from Sabrina.
You guys might be right that the Sabrina setup is now coming from like the Tony Todd thing. Because that definitely did feel weird. I would say that my biggest prediction from this episode is just the stuff I said about Cheryl. I just don't think I think they're going to continue to use Cheryl from here on out as just like, she's just never going to get right.
Right.
She's always going to be crazy. She's never going to have a storyline that fully like realizes the fact that she's crazy, and she's just going to be damaged goods for the entirety of the show. And I don't even know that's a good thing. I got the feeling tonight with that moment. It was like, what are you guys doing? She's like, you can't every three episodes give her just like a moment like that just makes her seem batshit, because you can never dignify her as a real character then.
She's turning into a villain.
She's just a crazy villain.
I a little disagree. To some extent, it would be nice to get some consistency to her character, because she's definitely bouncing from extremes, but she's, I don't want to use a medical term incorrectly, but she kind of is a little bipolar in the very basic, not accurate sense of the word. But and it makes sense if you think of all the trauma she's suffered.
Yeah.
Right. I hope that it comes to slightly more cohesion, but I really adore evil Cheryl. And I think that there's a space for her to grow into not evil Cheryl, you know. Again, once we resolve the mystery of this series as it currently is, and we get Sabrina in here, and she starts learning magic, I just really want Cheryl to be a witch, is what I'm trying to say.
Fair.
Me too. I love that. I saw so much witchiness, supernaturalness in this episode. I mean, I think they planted a seed for us, and I very much urge you guys to jump on this train, because I think that's where it's going. Solange Knowles in the chat said something I copy and pasted, that Hiram Lodge was the one who was manipulating Betty on the phone. Very interesting. I think that he is somehow part of the equation. And Chuck didn't die. I'm very grateful for that. So I think that he will be coming back. And, you know, I think that the Black Hood is going to be someone's... When he gets revealed in two episodes, it's going to be very reminiscent of a horror movie. And it's going to be a freaking awesome episode. And
so, based on the facts as they are now, I know you're still strong Team Sheriff Keller. Ben, do you have a prediction as to who is wearing the hood?
Who's wearing the hood? I don't know, but I do actually think more and more now that it's Polly controlling. I think it's Polly controlling who's ever wearing the hood in some way.
I think Polly will die because she's working for the hood. Yeah. Like, we don't care about you.
Boop. And the baby?
We didn't have any actual...
She'll have them.
She'll have the baby first?
Maybe the babies are doing it, you know? They come out and they're like, I'm a baby, I'm going to kill you all.
Who do you think's wearing the hood?
I feel like I've just gone back with so many things, because then I like picture it to like based off of plot line, and like, but then they don't have green eyes, so then I get turned back. Because like my idea would have been Chuck, because like he suddenly goes back to church and he wants to get revenge on everybody, but
I mean, no. Chuck doesn't have green eyes, so then that's out of the equation.
You know, that's a good point. I bet the way Chuck continues to be involved in the stories, they've got to go to a church because there's so many religious aspects to the murders.
Like, it's like a sinner. So, but I don't know. Yeah. Mine changes every episode because I was on with Betty. I was like, yeah, that makes so much sense. It's totally the sheriff.
I'm still Team Polly is behind it. I'll be watching again to see who would have known to call the diner at this point.
Right.
At the end. Of course, we have Pop's, you know, horrifying reveal of, like, so he's here, we failed, and he's coming for us. Whatever that means.
Did you guys think that was suspicious at all, though?
A little bit. But I still think it's Pop. Like, Pop just seems too much of the innocent guy to be directly
involved. Isn't that what we're supposed to think?
I guess. Mm. But if... You know, if it is Pop, I'll say I'm going to be disappointed. I'm going to be like, really? Really? It seems too far off.
But he took hush money.
Yeah, but who wouldn't take hush money? I just got to be quiet and you're going to pay me?
I think Pops is going to die.
Say nothing.
You think Pop's going to die?
Oh, shots fired!
Yep, I think he's next. He's going to die. Oh, and then we're going to find out a lot of bad things about him, but he did not deserve to die. And we're all going to be very sad. This is my last thing. Yeah. That's what I have to say.
All right, guys. Well, last thing before we get out of here, I do want to remind all of you guys that we have Nightfall coming to history very, very soon. We have History's new scripted drama series, Nightfall, premieres Wednesday, December 6th at 10 p.m. It's set in medieval France, tangled in politics and conflict. One headstrong and courageous Templar knight, Landry, will lead his order of warrior monks on a life-or-death mission to find the lost Holy Grail. Control the Grail, control the world. Have you guys seen the trailers for Nightfall?
It looks amazing. It looks
unbelievable. Every time I watch the show, I'm like, what is this show? I'm like, oh, it's Nightfall in history. This looks great.
Templar, let's go.
Yeah.
So the chat, just before we go, great stuff. First, Regina Lopez says, Pop is innocent. Somebody else said, Pop better not die. I'm with you guys. Also, someone said, Jason is the Black Hood and he came back to life. Look, if we're introducing the occult, that's not out of the realm of possibilities. We know he's coming back on the show. We have not seen him yet this season, right?
Greendale.
Just a flashback.
Yes, in a very brief flashback. So we'll see. But I like it.
I'm so excited. I love this show.
It's so good.
It sounded like my Jewish mother right there. But I feel so strongly about it.
So where can the guys find you if they want to follow along with your Riverdale exploits?
Hey, guys, follow me on Twitter at Ellie Nast and on Instagram at Ellie Girl.
Hey guys, I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique and every week at blackgirlnerds.com. This Sunday, I will be doing the Star Wars junket. So if you want to get some information ahead of the movie's release, check it out.
Holy
crazy. I know.
Well, I don't have much to follow up after the Star Wars junket, but you can find me at samdavidsonentertainment.com, Twitter and Instagram at samd43. Love to hear your thoughts and theories.
Thanks, guys. Ben Bateman Media, Twitter, Instagram. Find us here, same time, same place next week. Thanks for listening. Oh, no. We're an hour earlier next week.
Oh, we moved an hour earlier. Guys, exciting news.
We're an hour earlier from now on. Yeah, the rest of the season. So we'll see you guys instead of 11 o'clock at 10 o'clock next week. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Bye, everybody.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.